listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mottis.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Nuggets, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mottis, from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's the place for your Denver Nuggets news, notes, analysis, and just to hang out with other Nuggets fans. So join the site, join the community, check it out, read the articles, share with your friends. That really is the best thing you could do for us. This podcast as well, share with your friends. If you got Nuggets friends or NBA friends, tell them to check it out. This episode of the show is going to be the Fire Malone cast. Not really. What this is about, guys, I wanted to talk because last night, you know, tough loss. And I recapped all of the reasons that the Nuggets lost. In last night's episode, I think there was some interesting stuff that happened in it. So if you haven't checked it out, check it out for sure. But I wanted to take this time. I think fan bases in general are quick to throw things out like fire so-and-so, the front office, fire the coaching staff, cut this player, trade this player, whatever. And I think, you know, one of the things I've been covering the NBA for 4 years now. It's crazy to think 4 years covering the NBA. And my opinions as an analyst have changed. And the way I look at the game has changed. It's always evolving, always learning new stuff, getting new information. And I just wanted to share my thought process because, you know, I took some heat on Twitter and at different sites more than usual, saying that I was, you know, a mouthpiece for Malone or, oh, what will it take for you to criticize? Now, I thought in last night's episode, the main criticism was on Malone. I thought he was the main culprit for the loss. I thought it was on him. And I try to cover all of the reasons, all of the things I found interesting in that game, both good and bad. But most of the bad stuff was stuff that Malone did. I think he had a bad night. I don't think he should be fired. And I don't think I think a lot of the conclusions people jump to with him are really, really quick. And so I kind of wanted to go all of that and kind of lay my perspective on not just on Malone, but kind of with how the Nuggets should handle the coaching spot in general. And feel free to disagree with me. I'm sure there's a lot of things I will, maybe in a year's time, I look back and listen to this episode and I'll disagree with, but at least you'll see how I arrive at my perspective on the matter. So let's get into it. First thing, firing a coach, let's just kind of, I have like some bullet points here I'm going to discuss and kind of it creates a thread that maybe I can tie all together at the end. But the first thing, from what I observe, and you know, I think I see probably like 10 times more than the average fan because I get to go to practice and interview these guys and you pick up the vibes and you talk to people at the water cooler and you pick up all kinds of information about what's going on, both from the team, you know, get to talk to people within the organization and within players and people around the players and this and that. You pick up intel, but also people around the league, people from an outside perspective that are covering the league that maybe they're hearing from agents or this or that. So what I gather, and again, take it with a grain of salt, but what I gather, which from being around the team this much, is that Malone has a good relationship with Nikola Jokic, Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Paul Millsap, the four main players. I can't speak to every player on the roster because I think it's a little bit more, you know, it's hard to tell with certain guys. But I think with those four guys, I have not witnessed anything that would lead me to believe there is a major disconnect between those guys. Really a disconnect of any type, but it's certainly not a major one. You did see that with some of the other, like with Brian Shaw, it was very clear that he had lost the team and there were guys that didn't like him. They were vocal about that through the media. And there have been certain players. Wilson Chandler has voiced some frustrations. Obviously, Yusef Nurkic, and I'm going to get into those examples here in a bit. But your four main players, you look at the core of this roster going forward, I think Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Nikola Jokic, certainly the biggest part of that core. Then you could talk about, you know, Juancho Hernangómez. You could talk about Malik Beasley. I think all of those guys, I've never seen anything that would lead me to believe that there was any type of disconnect. Now, are they, you know, drinking beers and hanging out together on a Saturday night? Probably not. But I think that there is at least a little bit, I think there's a healthy relationship between those guys, and I think they get along pretty well. That is so important in the NBA. It is probably as important as any other factor when evaluating a coach. How do they get along with the players? Because, you know, we just saw with David Fizdale, who might very well be a very good coach, his problem was that he did not get along with Marc Gasol, and Marc Gasol didn't like him. There were reports that they hadn't talked for months over the entire summer, then the start of training camp. They had a working relationship, but nothing more. As good as and look, that might be a Marc Gasol thing. That might be a clash between those two. Sometimes personalities don't fit, and that's that. But it, risking, no matter how great a coach is, if they just do not connect with your most important players, it's a death sentence for both the team and for the coach. And I don't see that with Malone. Now, obviously, I saw that with Yusef Nurkic. It was very clear. There's some players on the roster, and I'm not going to name which ones, but I think there are certain players where I question. I don't know for certain, but I question, I wonder what their relationship is. I always hear some like subtle jabs when I talk to this player about him. But your main guys, Nikola Jokic, Gary Harris, Paul Millsap, Jamal Murray, they all seem to have a very, very good relationship with Coach Malone. So that's a very important foundation piece. Paul Millsap was recruited by Michael Malone and Gary Harris, but recruited by Michael Malone. And when Millsap signed, he talked about what a great meeting it was, what a great face-to-face, the communication. It felt right, this connection that they had. And again, that's important. Talk about the Nuggets not being able to recruit players for so long, and free agents of that magnitude not signing with the Denver Nuggets. Whatever was said in the meeting, I think Coach Malone made a very good impression. And the fact that Gary Harris went to the meeting and sat alongside Coach Malone for that meeting and to give that pitch, that's an important detail. Those types of things don't happen with every coach, or if they do, they don't close the deal. Or, you know, Dwayne Wade comes and meets with Coach Malone, and Josh Kroenke and Tim Connolly walks away impressed as well, shouts out Malone specifically. These things are important. It's really, really important that those things, you know, that those types of relationships can exist, and that those should not be taken for granted. He seems to have a solid relationship also with stars around the league. Kevin Durant called him a guru on a podcast over the summer. Michael Malone specifically. Chris Paul has given him a shout out in post game, specifically Michael Malone. LeBron James likes Michael Malone. Because he coached him in Cleveland, they always have this very friendly relationship. LeBron, I remember the first time he came to Pepsi Center when Malone was the coach, had this big, like, goofy cheeseburger grin as he starts shouting down the hall at what he called White Mo, because Mo Williams was Black Mo, and so Coach Malone is White Mo. Clearly likes him. Clearly they get along. DeMarcus Cousins, like the only coach that's ever connected with DeMarcus Cousins, Michael Malone. Are those relationships, how much can you read into them? Not that much, but here's what's important. As Denver looks to go from where they are right now to an actual destination for another free agent or two or three, maybe one superstar, maybe two superstars, maybe two or three role players, whatever it is, the relationships around the league are very important, and the perception of the coach is very, very important. And I think that Malone has a good the perception of him by other players is positive, by and large. Some key players around the league, very positive. That's an important thing. The optics, we haven't even gotten into his coaching yet, and that's deliberately so. I mean, we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. The optics of firing a coach like Michael Malone, the team has improved under every single season under him since he joined. They win 30 games his first season, 33 the next season, 40 the next season. They're on pace, at least at the moment, to win somewhere around 44, 45 games, and that's despite having the injuries. That is a steady improvement that I think is more in line with what even Nuggets fans expected. If you want to talk about Las Vegas, the Nuggets have outperformed Las Vegas's expectations in that same time frame. So whatever internal expectations you have in watching the game, when you step back and look at the picture, the team has improved every single year that he's been there, and not just improved, but outperformed what the betting public would have guessed. And last year, by a wide margin. People forget that the situation he inherited was not great, and we can't stress this enough. The Brian Shaw era was a debacle. And part of this, with all of these things I'm telling you, by the way, including the improved record, yes, I understand. Nikola Jokic, nobody knew about him, you know, when they last year. So, of course, Vegas underbid. How much credit does he get? I'll concede that 100%. there are a lot of factors. Malone, it's not like Malone is the sole factor for why the Nuggets have improved every single season or the sole factor why they've outperformed Vegas. That's not at all what I'm getting at, but I'm just trying to state, I'm creating a case here for all the different things that this, that, that, you know, a firing of Malone would, that would be presented against him in that case. So if the Nuggets were to do that, this would be the optics of all of those things. People forget it was a horrible situation. The team was quitting. Yes, they had a bad locker room, but the Nuggets were at an all-time low. I think if you were looking around the league at the stock, like if the Denver Nuggets were a stock, you would say, okay, that is definitely a don't buy. If you're a free agent looking to sign, that's a no thank you. We want to get an interview. No thank you. Now, different conversation, of course. They can get a meeting with almost any free agent. He, you know, like realistic free agent this summer. If Paul George is a free agent and he isn't 100% in going to the Lakers, if it's like, ah, you know, he wants to see his options, Denver calls, they want to interview, he will come and stop by. That would not have happened 3 years ago. You also have to look at the optics. You want to fire him midseason, like a lot of people were saying last night's game was a fireable offense. We want to fire Malone. Again, I think this is crazy. It was a really, really bad game, one of his worst coach games of his career, but it happens. His two-plus players are hurt. You know, he was fired in Sacramento when DeMarcus Cousins went out with meningitis, and they went on a huge losing streak, and they fired him. And what did every single person, every single writer, every single front office person, every single player say when that happened? What a clown organization the Sacramento Kings are. They were off to a good start. Their star player gets hurt, and then you fire your coach a year and a half into his tenure. Absolutely absurd. Now, were there other things that happened? There were, and if you really got into the weeds, maybe there's a lot more to the story than just they fired a guy because they were on a big extended losing streak. But that's not what filters through to the free agents, to the players, to the media, to everybody. What filters to the media is this is a clown organization, that Sacramento Kings, because they fired this guy when what did they expect with the roster that they put around him once Boogie went out? So I think the same thing with the Denver Nuggets. You fire him. Again, we're all close to the situation. We've all watched Malone at his worst. We've all seen some of the worst things that he's done as a coach. And I by no means think he's Greg Popovich, but we've seen all these things. That's not what gets filtered through. We have a different perspective than everyone else, and you have to understand that that perspective is important. That the optics of it are almost as important as the actual you know, whatever truth of the matter there is. The team is relying on two very young point guards, two very, very young and inexperienced and quite frankly below average point guards. I think both guys have a lot of potential. Jamal Murray in particular, I think, is going to pan out to be a very, very good player. But the truth of the matter is, at 20 years old, almost nobody's a good point guard in the NBA. The Nuggets are relying on two, and that alone, I think, can tank a season. If you would throw both of those guys on almost any roster in the league, every roster would take a little bit of a step back, at least every contending roster, just because those guys are going to be up and down. It's just the nature of being a young player in the NBA. It's nothing, nothing against them. If you were to give Michael Malone, like Kemba Walker, for example, a pretty good, like top 10 point guard, maybe borderline top 10, or maybe Damian Lillard, I think Malone would probably all of a sudden have a much better record, and maybe they make the playoffs last year. Maybe this year they're now at like 20 wins already or 18 wins, something like that, and these conversations aren't happening. Did anything change other than you changed one player on the court? No, and I think it's important to kind of remember these things. Again, it's not an excuse. We're going to get into some of the details of what makes him a good or bad coach, but again, the optics are important. And then do you have somebody to replace him? I look around the league right now and or just look at the available pool. I don't think there's a surefire person out there that you say, oh man, this guy's available and this Nuggets job is so attractive that they could definitely get that guy. Let's go out and get him. And I see people saying Fizdale's available. Guys, Fizdale just feuded with their star player in Marc Gasol. Just a feud. Didn't talk to him for 10 months. And I'm not saying, again, I'm not putting this on David Fizdale, but to pretend that firing Malone and hiring Fizdale is this like no-brainer, can't miss move, we just don't know that. You don't have any more confidence in that decision, I think, than you would in saying that Malone is going to improve every year as a coach. I don't think you can say that. Again, the relationships are so important. Jeff Van Gundy, I've heard his name thrown out. Think about Brian Shaw. A relatively young coach, and how he had a hard time connecting with what he called millennials, right? reading millennial books. And the truth is there is a generational gap. And look, I'm 33 years old. I experienced this personally. Like, you get to it's funny how you hit certain milestones in life, and then you kind of like you start talking to a younger generation. You're like, man, there really is this generational gap. How crazy. It's like when I was growing up talking to my parents or uncles or whatever, and you were like, man, there's a generational gap there. I'm at 33, relatively young person. And even when I talk to like a 20-year-old, I'm like, man, this is like it's almost like we live in different worlds. Jeff Van Gundy's an old guy, an old man. And it wasn't like, you know, he's been out the game for a long time. Think about the last time he coached. The NBA was very different. The NBA was very different in the early 2000s, mid-2000s. It was a completely different league. The three-point shot has taken over. The versatility, positional versatility, defensive versatility, small ball, all these things. The league is really, it's evolved as much over the last decade as at any point, I think, in its existence. And to think that Jeff Van Gundy has evolved along with that, who knows? I mean, Jeff Van Gundy to me would be an incredibly high risk hire. So David Blatt, another guy who I think is probably was in like the worst spot for him just becoming an NBA head coach when he first went in. Maybe he's a good coach, but maybe he's not. He's another guy that the players didn't love when he was there, didn't connect with everyone. So, you know, I don't think you can look around and say there's a surefire bet. I actually happen to think that the next coaches, not for the Nuggets, but I'm just talking in general, the next coaches to enter the NBA, the next great coach is probably an unknown name at this moment or a new coach. I don't think there's retreads out there that you look at and say, okay, this guy's a can't-miss type guy. I mean, even look at like Coach Tibbs, who had such success in 2007 through 2012, basically. Now, and it's still early there. I don't think they should fire Tibbs either. But now you look at it and it's like, man, he was a surefire hire 3 seasons ago or whatever it was. I think 3 seasons. Now you look at it and think, man, maybe it wasn't such a surefire thing after all. I think their defense is horrible. You thought he would come in and improve the defense right away. Could Malone be improved with a coach with better resources? Here's a question that people never ask, never seem to think about. Chris Finch left the Denver Nuggets. Why? Some people like to speculate, well, he hated Malone. Maybe. I don't know. I can't speak to that one way or another because, quite frankly, I don't know. Maybe that is truth. Maybe that is the truth. You know, some coaches have tried to leave. Pinckney, we know. Fleming left, you know, so they've lost some assistance, but everybody assumes, okay, is there some flaw with Malone? Maybe. Quite frankly, guys, I don't know. I have no insight to that answer. What I do know, and what I don't know, but what I have heard from lots of different people from all over the NBA is that the Nuggets typically are a team that pays the least for their assistant coaches. So the job, by and large, if a coach like Chris Finch gets an offer from an organ or another organization, you can guess that it is probably more lucrative. I don't know if that's the case with Finch. It could be that he saw New Orleans as a better like launch pad for his career, whatever. I don't know. But you have to ask, would Malone, you know, with coaching, I imagine you could build the best coaching staff if you paid your head coach a good wage, you know, market value or above in the top half, and then you allowed them the most amount of resources to build their staff or to help them build their staff or to build their staff for you. Because I know a lot of coaches want to hire yes men underneath them. You know, if I get fired, this guy's coming with me or whatever. But if you just said, you know what, we're opening up the pocketbook. We're going to put this super high level assistant as your number one defensive guy. This super high level assistant is your number one offense guy. You're still in control. It's your team. You get final say on all things, but we're giving you the money for this. And oh, by the way, we're going to bolster your scouting department. We're going to bolster your analytics department. We're going to pay out the teeth to give you every resource possible for you to be the best coach. Now, do the Nuggets do that? We don't know. But their reputation around the league is a team that does not do that. Not only does not do that, but they're a team that is in the bottom half in terms of allocating their resources to behind-the-scenes things. We saw in the article that was published recently about the NBA teams that spend the most and least on non-luxury tax things that do not fit under that, you know, under your luxury tax bill or whatever. The Nuggets were the lowest, I think the last in the entire NBA. So, you know, that's another thing. What would Greg Popovich be like if his budget was completely stripped and like, oh, hey, you're going to have to work out with a skeleton crew this year or whatever? You know, these things are important. So So that's another little X factor in here. And then, of course, I talked about the reliable point guard or what have you. Would that improve him as a coach? So all of these factors should be taken into consideration. It's not so much about whether is he the next Phil Jackson. I don't think he is. Okay, quite frankly, that my read on Malone is that he is neither the next Earl Watson, and he's not the next Greg Popovich. He is somewhere in between that very wide set of possibilities. Do you fire a coach for that right now at 14-12? You know, I had a Serbian listener of the show talk to me about how their team in Serbia, coaches get fired, and it's not unnormal for a team to go through two, sometimes three, maybe even four coaches in a single season, and that's just the culture out there. Guys have to understand that is not the culture in the NBA. That might work in other leagues. That might work in Serbia, in the Adriatic League, or where if a coach underperforms even one game, they're on the hot seat. It's not how it works in the NBA. There are repercussions in the NBA that there are not in that league. Whether you think that's right or not, that every coach should feel the pressure to perform every game at their best, whatever, that's not how it works in the NBA. If you fire multiple coaches year after year after year, you are the Sacramento Kings, and nobody wants to take that job. Nobody wants to go there. Their reputation continues to get worse and worse and worse. All right, so let's talk about Malone now as the coach, and I'll start with the positives. I'm going to end with the negatives to make everybody happy, because I know how many people were upset after this last game. The positives, like, as I mentioned, the team hasn't lost the locker room, and he has improved every single season. The team has improved. I think he's improved as a coach, quite frankly, in his three seasons here. I'd be curious to talk to him. I almost had an interview with him over the summer. This was definitely one of the questions I wanted to ask him. Unfortunately, I didn't get to do that. That fell through. But, maybe next summer I'll have the opportunity. I wonder if he feels like an improved coach. I will say, you know, a lot of people, they'll talk about the different lineups. Oh, you can't play such and such lineup. You can't play those two guys together. I'll tell you that Malone is well-educated in all of the stats. He knows, and I think he's done a pretty good job this year, of trying his best to avoid lineups that don't work. He is aware of the data. He's aware of the details. I think he is a coach that puts in a tremendous amount of effort. I've never once thought, looking at Malone, oh, this is a guy that's not doing his work. It's a guy that's dropped the ball. I disagree with his ideas. There's certain things about, you know, about his style or his philosophies that I personally disagree with. And it's not like I'm a basketball genius, guys. So, I mean, there's a great chance that I'm wrong about these things. But nonetheless, I never thought like, oh, man, this is a guy that's slacking and not taking his job seriously. If anything, I thought, especially early in the season, I thought Malone looked unhealthy because he looked like a guy that wasn't getting his 6 hours of sleep. He looks like a guy that gets about 3 hours of sleep. He helped discover Jokic ball. And by the way, that's the most important thing the Nuggets have done in the last 4 years, draft and not just draft, but discover the talents of Nikola Jokic. All other things pale in comparison. Now, I think that we're starting to expire, you know, that grace period for where you can kind of just be happy about that. But it's important to note, with Tom Thibodeau, great coach, do you think he would have discovered Jokic ball? Do you think when they would have had the 29th, you know, best defense for the entire month of January, and Nikola Jokic is dribbling the ball up on the fast break and doing all the things, do you think Thibodeau would sit back and say, you know what, this is the style of basketball I like, I'm going to allow this to happen? I think no chance. Tom Thibodeau says, nope, I have a style I like to play. We're going to enter through the post. We're going to space the floor, but keep floor balance so we can get back on defense, and that's how we're going to play. And we would have never discovered this. Malone, you can credit Chris Finch for it. You can credit Nikola Jokic. I don't think it's any one person. I think a lot of people should deserve at least some credit. Nikola Jokic, obviously, the lion's share of the credit. He's the one actually doing these things. But I think that you have to at least credit Malone with saying, you know what, he did something that I don't think all 30 coaches in the NBA would have done, and that is allow Nikola Jokic to do this crazy style of basketball that, by the way, most coaches, I think, would have pulled their hair out watching it happen. It's funny. I went back and watched his rookie season, because we always remember that sophomore season, the breakout, but it really happened his rookie season. And in like March, there were games, and like just listening to the Chris Marlowe and Scott Hastings calling the game, it was this, what's Jokic doing? Oh my gosh, here he comes down the floor. What's he going to do now? And it's a pass. Think about how many coaches would have pulled their hair out when Jokic is going through the legs, full court, running the break, and throwing no-look passes. The first time a pass goes off the mark, that guy's getting pulled out, especially a rookie center. Malone had a lot of patience. He saw something in Nikola Jokic, and he allowed him a very, very, very long leash, even in that rookie season when he finally allowed him on the court. And I don't think all 30 coaches would have allowed that. Gary Harris has developed under Michael Malone tremendously. Again, I think Gary Harris deserves the lion's share of the credit. I think when we, anytime we talk about players, they deserve the majority of the credit. But it is worth noting that Gary Harris has become a better player under Michael Malone's since Michael Malone's been a coach. Let's talk about the negatives. He's a self-proclaimed defensive coach, and his teams have not just been bad defensively; they've been terrible defensively here in Denver. And just like we can't credit Malone for Jokic being this great, you know, offensive talent or whatever, we also can't blame Malone for not being able to make chicken soup out of chicken shit, as the speech goes. But I think the thing is the Nuggets aren't just bad defensively, they're horrible defensively. And I personally think that some of the individual defensive like footwork and things like that for players has not improved. Moutier, Gary Harris to a certain extent, Will Barton, Nikola Jokic even. I think you look at a lot of these guys and you think make some of the same mistakes that they were making 2 years ago. So the question becomes, you know, is he – I think sometimes that he probably has some good ideas, and he certainly sees the game in ways that I don't. And I know that there's a lot of motivation to what he's doing. But you have to question, if you're a defensive coach, why aren't your players improving individually defensively? And that's a big, huge question. I think he struggles with poise in general, but I think he struggles especially with late game poise. You know, it was funny because was it Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, that once called Shaq. He had some kind of criticized for Shaq, and Shaq came back and said, well, of course, Van Gundy is a master of panic, and the team takes on his persona. And that's kind of been a knock on Stan Van Gundy, by the way, as a coach, is that his teams have kind of always taken on his persona, which is very angsty in the clutch. Well, I wonder with Malone, with Denver's poor performances down the stretch of games for three seasons now, some of that, I think everybody credits that to youth. But I wonder also with Malone as a guy that loses his temper and loses his cool, and I think loses his focus, and like his decision making becomes worse the more he gets emotionally invested in the game and quite frankly pissed. He gets pissed and he like gets so mad that I think it clouds his judgment. That's a major flaw, and I actually think it's something he is aware of. He's talked about this before in scrums about how he's got to keep better composure and like it's a focus of his. So I think it's aware of it. Maybe he can't help himself, although I will say prior to these injuries to Millsap and Jokic, I thought that Malone had done a better job. It's funny. I think it was the Sacramento game in game two of the season. Nuggets are up big. They're blowing them out the water. The backups come in, and it might not have been the Sacramento game, but it was one of those games, and the backups come in, and they blow a 30-point lead. Nuggets end up only winning by like 10 points, but it was a blowout win. And after the game, Malone just was furious, and he was in this horrible mood, and you're thinking, man, the Nuggets just played their best game of the year. They had a blowout win. Who cares if the end of bench comes out and then doesn't play well? Malone was kind of a drag, and you could tell he's that guy that loses his cool. Well, I'll tell you what. Since that moment, I have a feeling somebody came up and talked to him, whether it was an assistant coach or a front office or something, or maybe it was just him. He just went home and saw himself on TV and was embarrassed. But he, the next day, he like almost apologized to the media and said, I apologize to my team. Like, it really was a good win. You can't focus on the negative. Since then, I think he's been pretty good about at least when he gets to talking to the media part, which it's funny, but this is an important indicator, because last season there was a lot of times where he would talk to the media after a tough loss and like he still had not gained his composure. So the fact that this season I think he has, at least when talking to the media, I think that's at least a sign that he's trying to work on one of his weaknesses. That's an important thing to me, signs of improvement. But nonetheless, it's a weakness of his, poise in late game strategies. He's failed to connect with Jusuf Nurkić. Now, can we blame him for that? Maybe. Terry Stotts has connected with Jusuf Nurkić, and you're getting a lot out of him. Maybe the circumstances in Denver were such that Nurkić was never going to play. He certainly, in the Ben Golliver piece on Sports Illustrated about a month ago, Nurkić had a quote in there about how, like, I saw the writing on the wall. Jokic was their guy, and I just wanted out. Like, it made me think, like, Nurkić knew that wasn't going anywhere, and what benefit did he have playing well for the Nuggets? He needed to get out of there if he was ever going to be a starter and ever be a max player or whatever. So maybe there was nothing Malone could have done to connect with him other than start him, and the moment he didn't start him, the relationship was over. Maybe that's the case. But whatever it was, him and Malone did not hit it off, and that the relationship deteriorating cost the Nuggets. Again, you can figure out how much blame to assign Malone. I have more inside information than the average listener, and even I feel like I don't know the answer to that one. So if you feel like you know the answer to that one, I think you should probably question yourself a little bit more. He's failed to develop Emmanuel Mudiay. I'm tough on Mudiay on this show, more so than anyone, and I try my hard. I'll be honest, guys. The number one thing I focus on when I record this show is don't go all in on Mudiay. Don't just make this a complaint about Mudiay. The truth is, I think Mudiay is an incredibly talented basketball player. Like he has these raw talents that are very real. I think that in like 100 alternate universes where Mudiay gets a bunch of different types of circumstances to come into the NBA, I think he succeeds in a lot of them. I don't think it's one of these things where like, oh, he's just not a player. He never was a player. And, you know, everybody that thought he was a good high draft pick got that wrong. I think he has a lot of raw talents. For whatever reason, he hasn't developed them. Again, is that because Malone? Is that because of Mudiay? Is that because of the circumstances and the roster didn't fit? I don't know the answer to that, and I really don't think anybody, maybe people on the inside have a better read on that, you know, the front office and the coaching staff, or maybe even some of the teammates, maybe they have a better read on that. I certainly don't. Nonetheless, as a coach, I have to think that this is a failure of his to get the best out of Emmanuel Mudiay, to understand what makes him good and what makes him bad. You know, Malone always talks about the turnovers, and it's funny because we're going on 3 years now where the Nuggets have struggled with turnovers, although I should point out that over the last six games, the Nuggets have actually – I haven't checked since last night, but going into last night, there was a five-game stretch. The Nuggets had the lowest turnover percentage of every team in the NBA, so you know, turnovers perhaps not as big of a problem over the last little bit of stretch. But nonetheless, you know, the Nuggets turnovers has like been a talking point for Malone for the last three seasons. And I think one area I disagree with Malone is that I think he views turnovers as they happen when people are careless with the ball. And I think that's one reason that turnovers happen. There's a lot of other reasons that turnovers happen, and I don't think he's fully grasped what type of environments can help facilitate Mudiay specifically, but also the team when Mudiay's in to not have turnovers. So I think you have to put some of that on Malone as well. But again, how much? I think we're all going to analyze that differently. So those are some real flaws. If I were to evaluate Malone, my personal opinion is that he is probably an average NBA basketball coach, right around average. He's young enough, and he's as inexperienced enough that I think there's still hope that he can grow into a good coach over time. Again, I think the resources thing is an underappreciated thing by most fans. I think if you gave him you know, some top level of minds and assistance and resources, I do think he would improve at a quicker rate. But nonetheless, I think he's an average. I don't think he's like the worst coach in the NBA. I don't think he's like a bottom five coach. I think he falls somewhere right in the middle there. And most important of all, he hasn't lost that locker room. So fire Malone. I think at the end of this season, the Nuggets will have a real decision to make about which direction to go. And unfortunately, with Paul Millsap's injury, I think that decision's going to be a lot harder than it was if Millsap was healthy. If Millsap was healthy and the Nuggets missed the playoffs, open and shut case, he is gone. First day, exit meeting. There's no exit meeting. He is out the door. With Millsap gone, now I think there's a lot more variables at play, and you kind of think, okay, well, let's see how this season plays out. If he makes the playoffs and the Nuggets are improved, I think it becomes really, really difficult to fire a coach in that situation for all the reasons that I laid out. You know, the Warriors did this with Mark Jackson, although there was some like crazy off other circumstances going on between assistant coaches and gossiping and secretly filming and Mark Jackson openly trying to get the players to revolt against ownership and for the front office. Like, there was some crazy stuff going on there. I don't think that's a good comp. Nonetheless, I think more often than not, what happens is a team in that position fires their head coach and they end up going the opposite direction and things do not work out. So it's a tougher tougher situation than most people would like to give it credit for. But nonetheless, that's the situation. This summer, that's when the Nuggets reevaluate and try to figure out what they're going to do with Malone. Not right now in the middle of a season. That's just not how things work in the NBA. Not when a team is 14-12. Not when they're the fifth seed in the Western Conference. Not when they still have a chance to make the playoffs. You just cannot do that unless you want to be a Mickey Mouse organization, in my opinion. Now, they go on a big losing streak, and come mid-January, they're like 10 games below 500, and they've only won two games in the last month. Okay, that changes the equation a little bit, but I just don't think you can do it at this stage. Disagree with me? That's fine. Guys, it's basketball. We can. There's often no right answers, and we often don't know. I think even evaluating a game like last night, you know, I thought it was a bad move by Malone. You know, he made a lot of bad moves. I talked about them all in the show. But, you know, you leave Jamal Murray in and they lose. You say, oh, well, they needed to make a sub. You make a sub and they lose. Oh, why didn't he stick with the group that was unit? I mean, it's one of those things. It's so easy to analyze basketball after the fact. And I think that's one of the fallacies that people make. That's one of the biases people have, is when you have the benefit of hindsight, it's easy to feel like you knew what the right decision was before things happened. That's not how it works, though, in real life. And that's why I think, in my opinion, Nuggets fans are being a little bit too hard and a little bit too quick to kind of cut the rope on Malone. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Again, feel free to disagree. It's okay. There's lots of different opinions. I'm by no means a genius and have all of the right answers, but this is my perspective and my opinion, and I hope at least made some interesting arguments for you. Thanks a bunch, guys. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.